Acts chapter number 26. And I'm going to slip this jacket off once again. Now, I've never heard Brother Ross preach ever. I just can't remember if I ever had. I met him at a camp meeting in Eufaula. And he knows my preacher, and I've never heard him preach. So I've read the book Stay in the Castle. We've given it to a lot of girls, and I'm going to pick up a few more books today because I want to learn more and get closer to the Lord and different things. I know that sometimes when someone like me comes to a place where a preacher's I think Brother Ross is a fine preacher. I know that my preacher has a lot of respect for him. And then you get me up here. And so it ought to be exciting. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter number 26. I tell people I'm brown beans and cornbread. That's it, man. I'm on the bottom shelf. I told a guy in Louisiana one time I was red beans and rice. And so just to try to relate to him. And in Philadelphia, we're just cheesesteaks. That's it. I mean, real simple. So Acts chapter number 26, let's look at verse number 22. The Bible says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show a light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For the thing was not done in the corner." Now I want you to understand, Paul is talking to Festus, but now he begins to direct it towards King Agrippa, who is also there, and I'll explain some of that in just a minute. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Let's pray, and we'll ask God to bless. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that you put your hands upon us today. Lord, help me, God, to relay what you've given me this morning. Lord, help us to see the importance of the Word of God in our lives, and may the Holy Spirit of God take over and turn this place upside down and change our life forever, that we'd never be the same. And I know that you would love that to happen every time we enter into your house, every time we crack open the precious Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd bind Satan and his demons from this place. We plead the precious blood of Jesus, ask you to cleanse it, help us, hallow it, and put angels around to fight for us. And would you please help us today to get what we have from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll say this. You've got to understand, I'll give you a little bit of a testimony here of what's going on. The Apostle Paul, he's been in jail for 2 years at this point in time. He's in jail because when he got saved, God commissioned him to preach the Word of God, to tell everybody about Jesus, to start churches. And can I say that when God saved you, he commissioned you to start churches, to tell the Word of God, and to tell everybody about a man named Jesus. And so Paul is sitting in jail, and he is having a pretty long conversation with Festus and Agrippa. And he is talking to them, and he's trying to help these men. And he's trying to help them to understand who Jesus is. And so I want you to look at verse number 1 of chapter number 26. In verse number 1, Agrippa is about to let Paul speak. Paul's been in jail for 2 years, and in chapter 25, if we were to look into it, we would see that Agrippa has come into town in the Caesarea Philippi, where Paul is, where he's been in jail for 2 years, and Festus is there. And Festus begins to tell Agrippa, "Hey, I got a guy in jail that keeps talking about a man who rose from the dead." And Festus tells that to Agrippa, and Agrippa says, I want to hear from him. I want to see what he's got to say. And so the next day, they have all the chief men of the city and all these folks that have claimed false accusations against Paul. And so it's a pretty big setting of people that are there. I don't know where it was exactly, inside a courtroom, outside in a hall, or what, but there's a lot of people there. And they have Paul sitting in jail. Now, he's in jail, and he's not in a nice plush place that we might call jail today. You say, well, are any of them plush? Well, yes, they are. I've been in a couple that were pretty nice. But so most of them aren't. And at this point in time, a couple of years ago, you say, are you serious? Well, sort of. At this point in time, he's in a dungeon, probably in a dark, damp, cold environment. He's been locked up 2 years, and it seems that he gets handcuffed to soldiers often, where he has to be guarded by them. And we know the Apostle Paul, when he got handcuffed to him, he would sometimes lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians that some of the house of Caesar had gotten saved. And so Paul was there in jail, and we would talk about the Lord. And 2 years later, they call him out. And they said, we want to hear from him. And look at verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. And here's what he said. You can read it right there. I'm so sorry for what I've done. And I don't want to make anybody mad here. And I don't want anybody to get upset. I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to change them anymore. Would you please let me go home? I memorized it. You guys didn't see, they aren't looking at your Bible. But I'm quoting it to you. That's what it says. I don't want to cause any stir. I don't really want to upset anybody by telling the truth. That's not what he says. He says, I think myself happy. Now, I want you to understand, this old King James Bible is a wonderful book. Ain't nothing like it. It's a life-changing book. It's perfect in all it is. But sometimes, it's 400 years later, we misinterpret the English that's there. And I want you to understand, when he said, I think, he wasn't thinking like positive thinking. It wasn't like, well, I don't feel good, but I'm going to pretend that I feel good, and that way I'll feel good. I've told people that if you don't feel good, just pretend it, and maybe you'll feel good later. We've said that, the power of positive thinking. That's not what Paul's saying here. The word think there would almost, we add a little light to it, mean consider, I would understand, I would know. And then he says that I am happy. That word happy is the same word in Matthew chapter number 5 used for blessed or blessed. And the word happy there is only a word that can be used by a blood-bought believer. It isn't someone that's at the bar that night, heard a funny joke, is like, oh, I'm happy. No, this is somebody that's been saved, that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that knows the Lord. They're blessed by the best. They're happy. It's a salvation that only you can get from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says it, he says, I think myself happy. He begins to tell them that. Now, he's been locked up for 2 years. Now, I don't know what you would do after 2 years of being locked up. I've never been locked up for 2 years. But if I was locked up for 2 years preaching the gospel, and I'm a man, and I'd like to say, well, bless God, I'm going to preach. And I do believe that I would preach. But I've never been through that. So maybe Paul or one of us would come out and say, hey, can I just go home? Paul doesn't say that. He says, I think myself happy. I'm saved, God has changed my life, and I'm different, and then look what he does. If we read some of it, let's look at some of it. Because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things, wherever I'm accused of the Jews. Now I get to talk with what they've been slandering my name, and they've been giving false accusations. Now I get to talk a little bit. Especially because I know that thee to be an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech you to hear me patiently. And then Paul goes into his salvation testimony. What God had done for him, my manner of life from youth, which was at first among mine own nation in Jerusalem, know all the Jews. They know what I was when I grew up. They know I grew up listening to the Jewish religion. And then he says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of the religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now listen to me, guys, ladies, boys, girls, everybody. In case anybody was thinking about not listening when I said that. He says, I'm one of those Pharisees. There were different degrees of Pharisees. He was one of those that really believed he was doing the right thing. He wasn't a phony Pharisee. There are phony ones, add to the law, and really knew they were doing wrong, but they did it anyway. He believed it. And he begins to give his testimony to these two lost people, Festus and Agrippa. Agrippa's a king. Festus is in control of the province or that area right there. And God had told Paul he was going to testify before those people. Now, I don't know what you would do if you're presented with an opportunity like that, but we know what Paul did. And so I want to get you somewhere and see something. Verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which the 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? He said, I'm standing here because of God, because I love God, because I put my faith in God, because I'm telling people about God, because God was promised to come through the prophets. It's in the Old Testament that he was coming. And now he's sitting there in jail. Verse 9, I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus in Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that I shut up in prison have received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punched them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. Paul says, listen, I was against all this stuff. But then look down at verse number 13. At midday, O king, I saw the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And God came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul's there under conviction, and God gives him what he wants him to do with his life. Now, he's been in jail, and I can't stress this, I've been in jail 2 years. And he is coming out, telling them his testimony, telling them what happened to him, talking big about God raising from the dead. And then I read to you where it says, now therefore I continue to this day. Look at it again. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Hey, I know I've been in jail, and I know you think you're in control of me, and I know the world thinks they got it going on right now, and I know the church house may think that we ain't got a chance, but listen, we get help from God, and God is in control. And he says that. And look what it says. I continue to this day witnessing. He's still witnessing in jail? Well, sure he is. Listen, the guards would show up for work. One guy would show up and they'd say, who do you want me to guard today? And they say, Paul. He goes, oh, all he does is talk about Jesus. And then another guy would show up and say, who are you guarding today? You get Paul. He goes, oh, man, I love Paul. I got saved the other day. I told like, hey, Paul, what's up? But Paul would never quit talking about it. He said, we kind of stopped talking about it. Well, I did tell him already. And so I want to, you know, you'll be in the middle of a conversation with your family, friends, or somebody, and you're wanting to say something about the Lord, and you skip that part. Well, you know, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to drive it down their throat. Yeah, no, Paul just skipped it all right here. He decided he wasn't going to tell them anything. Then he says this, that Christ should suffer and should be the first to rise from the dead and show a light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And look what it says, verse 46. And As he thus spake from himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Everybody look up here, and I want you to listen to me. It doesn't mean he's standing next to himself. It means that, Paul, you're crazy. But, Burton, have you ever been called crazy because you love the Lord? Oh, yeah. Does it hurt your feelings? No. Makes me feel pretty good, actually. I'm different. So that's easy for you. You're 48 and good looking. You know, I know. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. My wife thinks I'm good looking. That's it. He says, you're crazy, Paul. And then Paul states some statements to Agrippa. Agrippa, you know all about it. Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. And Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now listen, if you study that out, he's not, and I've heard a lot of great messages, and I'm not against any of these messages. It's good preaching. You know, he almost got saved that day. Now he's kind of upset that Paul thinks he can get him saved that easily. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? You think you can get me that easy? Paul said, well, I don't wish just you, but everybody. Now listen to me. You know what they were saying to Paul? He's one said he was crazy, beside himself. The other one is making fun of him a little bit. You know what he was saying? You know what they were saying to him in modern day English and something like I would talk, my vernacular? Which is the way probably nobody should ever talk, but I don't speak good English. I don't speak good anything. But they were looking at Paul. After all that, they said, Paul, what's the big deal? I mean, really, Paul, what's the big deal here? You know, a lot of people see us go to church all the time. I wonder what the big deal is. I mean, they're religious. They're a very religious bunch of people. I mean, God's against religion. This ain't a religious establishment. I hope that I'm not in one. Hope I'm with a bunch of folks that got a relationship with the Lord. Paul, what's the big deal? And Paul's thinking, what? Have you not heard everything I've said to you so far? What's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal. He rose from the dead. He died for you. He gave his life for us. And if we'll turn to him, he'll change our life. And a lot of folks sitting there listening, they were thinking, wow, did you hear how he's talking to them? I mean, he's not afraid of anything. And they were getting testimony that God was something. It wasn't just those two hearing it. Paul was talking and a bunch of people were hearing it. And listen to me. I want to preach this message to you today. You say, you haven't started the message? Not yet, but we're about there. We're real close. But I'm going to quit on time, all that stuff. It's great. When I tell my folks, we're not going to be here long, they laugh. I mean, it's funny. Like, I'll hear them snicker. And I'm thinking, well, that's fine. I just say that sometimes because I get nervous. But today we will finish on time. And you're snickering. Okay. That's no problem. Feel right at home here. I wonder if there's anybody in the room today saying, what's the big deal? I mean, really? I mean, I don't get it. You know, maybe you're visiting or here, or maybe sometimes people get up and you're like, I'm not even sure that's real. I mean, it really that good? I mean, what's the big deal? And Paul's looking at these two men and he's giving his testimony. He's told them what God called him to do. And he's wanting them to understand that he is a big deal. Hey, you get on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all that. Hey, how about hashtag, he's a big deal. He's a big deal. Get you a t-shirt. I tell our folks they're all tattooed up and some of them still getting tattooed. I say, well, if you're going to get a tattoo, just be real about it and put Jesus is a big deal across your forehead. Just come on in and wear one of those. Well, our folks show up with new verses down their arms. And I'll go, you're really not supposed to do that anymore, but I'll do like the verse. It's good. I had a man put my life verse on his leg one time. I said, Leo, that's my life verse. He goes, well, I like it too. I'm like, okay. I hit him on the arm one day. Hey, Leo, bam. He goes, ah. Lifts his sleeve up, Galatians 2:20 down his arm. I'm thinking, well, what are you going to say to that? Hey, he is a big deal. Folks, when's the last time you made a big deal about the Lord? I mean, think about that. When's the last time you made a big deal about the Lord Jesus Christ? I went to the Dollar General yesterday. I didn't have a track. I didn't bring one. I didn't see them on the table and the lady there. And I just always said, I got to talk about the Lord, people. And I said, ma'am, I just want to let you know I'm from Philadelphia, but I'm here visiting the Blessed Hope. Miss Lady was smiling. Oh, the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. She goes, and it's not, listen, it's not a strike against your church. This is what happens when Jesus and Baptists get mentioned to anybody most of the time. I mean, not very many people remain smiling. And I said, but you know what? I don't have a card, but I'm preaching over there tomorrow, and I know they would love for you to come. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. She wasn't being rude to me, but he's a big deal to me. And now I got the track in my jacket, and I love Dollar General anyway. I'm going to go in there next time and be like, here it is. Probably the same lady working. They ain't got but two or three employees in the whole town. I mean, everybody works at the same place. Hey, listen, when's the last time? I'm feeling pretty good, yeah. So do you have liberty? I feel liberty, yes. Hey, listen, when's the last time you made a big deal about the Lord? I want to tell you why he was a big deal. And Paul told these guys. I want you to look with me in verse number. Look what Jesus said to them in verse 14. And when they were all fallen to the earth, that's when he's giving his testimony. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying unto in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now listen to me. God doesn't come and meet with us like he did in the New Testament. We know that. But he still comes and meets with us for a purpose. And he has a purpose for every single person in this room today. And he's going to give it to us here. It says, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. We know that the Apostle Paul, I believe this 100%, that for 3 years he was in Arabia with the Lord Jesus Christ himself being taught. And so he's like, I want you to be a witness of what I did for you and what I'm going to teach you. Both of them. Not what I teach you only. Not just what happened to you. But I want you to be a witness. There's a purpose for your life, Paul. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And he gives them some reasons. And listen, these reasons today. Hey, when's the last time you made a big deal about the Lord? He said, well, we have different personalities. That's absolutely right. Right, I don't believe everybody ought to be slamming tracks on the thing. Well, all right, let me take that back. I think everybody ought to slam tracks down and say he's a big deal. But maybe everybody, we've got different personalities in here. But even if you're monotone, you could say, you know, Jesus is a big deal. I really love him and he is everything to me. And if people know you, they'll say, well, that's just the way they talk. But if I went home today to my kids and said, hey guys, Jesus is a big deal. They go. When I walk in the house at any point in time, I'm this just my life, man. I'm just a big kid. But when I walk in, woo, daddy's home, and they don't even bat an eye at this point anymore. They're just like, and if I walked in and went, dad's here, they go, what's wrong, dad? I FaceTimed them with these emojis yesterday, with every emoji that comes on the iPhone. And man, we just had a time, because they know. But they know most of all, why is daddy like this? Because Jesus saved them. And he gives Paul these reasons. And if you're not making a big deal, it's just because you forgot what happened. Look what it says. Now, I want you to understand, he gives Paul the things that he's going to teach. But before he teaches, remember the things that appeared unto you and the things that I'll teach you. The things I give you now and the things I'm going to teach you. And he says, number one, to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light. Number one, he's a big deal. Why? Because he opened my eyes. I hope he opened your eyes. You look saved. Larry, you look saved too. Okay. Now I don't want to look at anybody because everybody's going to be like, do I look saved? Well, you all look saved from right here. Hey, listen, do you remember the day God opened your eyes? See, I was a bartender for years. I was a bartender in Monterey, California, making $300 a night, easily, in about 5 hours. But I was a drunk and a drug addict at the same time, and I'd squander all that money before I ever got home, and lived a life of just day, time I woke up, time I went to bed, man. That's what I did for a long time. I was gone. I couldn't even go back and visit my mom and dad. They didn't trust me for years. Now we have a great relationship, but when God opened my eyes, I saw the world a new way. I don't understand a salvation, and I don't believe there is a salvation where a person doesn't see something different. Now, I didn't get saved that day and show up that night at church looking like this and saying, bless God, I love the King James Bible. And none of that happened, little by little. But when I got saved, hey, the lights got turned on. I saw something different, and that's why he's a big deal. Hey, have you forgotten today when God opened your eyes? I don't care if it was 60, 70 years ago, but we should never forget that time when God made everything look a little bit different. I'm a little bit different on what I believe. The day I got saved, I thought, man, this ain't right no more. I still continued to drink and get high because I wanted to quit. I kept trying, but I didn't want to tell anybody at the church what I was. But every time I did it, I thought, man, I don't like this anymore. I wish I could quit. I was tired of it. Hey, I saw it different. We used to do things around my buddy's kids that was so ungodly. And now I think my kids, we don't let anything come on that TV that cusses or anything. It gets shut down immediately. Anything, come on, and we got these things we bought, hundreds of dollars, keeping cuss words off our TVs. And why? Because it's different, man. God opened my eyes and I saw the world different. Hey, if you walked in like this and walked out like this, then you might not have gotten what God wanted you to get. Hey, if we've forgotten, why don't you go back to the day when you started seeing it different? Hey, but right now, take yourself back to the day where you said, you know, it's different. I used to stare up at that ceiling after I got saved and go, man, I don't ever have to get high again. I mean, when God gave me the victory at teen camp, man, 8 months later, I was like, man, I'm free. I don't have to worry about the police behind me. I don't have to worry about somebody coming and getting me. Hey, everything was new. He took me from the darkness to light. He gave me a new eyesight. Number two, it says that, let me read it to you. It says this. And from the power of Satan unto God. Number two, he gave us new ownership. Do you remember that one? Hey, remember that? I'm not a child of the devil. Now listen, we don't suggest you go door to door saying, hey, did you know your father's the devil? That's probably not going to be a good thing. But if they're not saved, it is true. It's all Bible. But did you remember the day when the lights got turned on and you started thinking, you know what? This is awesome. Man, I got something that's unbelievable. Hey, you know why you don't make a big deal? Because you forgot that. It's just the way it is. Man, we got to regularly visit it. And you say, well, what about our kids that never had to go through that? So my kids have been saved at 6, 7, and 8. And they all got it the same way through the grace of God. And we saw distinct differences in them. My wife got saved at 10. Grew up in church. Never smoked, drank, cussed, or anything. We don't have to go through that mess to have the lights turned on. My kids can go back in their testimony and say, in November 17, 2002, my daddy got saved, and it prevented me from ever going out into the world. And I've been able to live a life with God, and God's been so good to me, and they'll realize it. When they got saved, they realized the difference in their life. They got to see the good stuff early. Hey, what about that? What about when God turned the lights on? What about now if you're giving new ownership? And the reason we don't make a big deal about it. Now listen, and when I preach this, sometimes I tell people we ought to go to all the gas stations after church and plop one on the deal, but they'll lock us up because there probably ain't but one gas station here. So don't everybody go in there today and say he's a big deal. Half the town's in the church. No, I'm kidding. All right. So, but what if everybody said, you know, Jesus came and got me and he's a big deal. And we've just forgotten. When my light gets dim, it's because I've forgotten. I get so busy working, and my life is, I mean, most of the time I just do the Lord's work. I mean, everything's my life, the way it's set up, it's all about the Lord, but sometimes I'm doing the Lord's work, but it's all about me. And I forgot that he turned the lights on, man, and it's only been 16 years, but man, he came and got me. He's a big deal. Paul, what's the big deal? Well, he turned the lights on and gave us new ownership. Then I believe Paul starts talking about the forgiveness of sins. Oh, my goodness. Hey, my kid got saved at 6. She got forgiven for all those sins before 6, but she got forgiven for everything that would ever come down the road, past, present, and future. I've done stuff I wouldn't even want to tell nobody. Nobody in the world knows. But God forgave me of them. Sometimes devil beats me up, but God comes in that conversation sometimes a little later because I ain't let him in, and he'll sit pertin'. I don't even listen to that. I forgave you, son. Hey, what have you been forgiven of? So, Brother Burton, I'm a pretty good person. Well, you've been forgiven of that, because that pretty good person will get you nothing but hell. You thank God he forgave you for being a pretty good person. That's a bunch of junk. So I wasn't like you, but I'm good. I'm glad, really I am. But I'm telling you this, he turned the lights on, he gave you new ownership, and he forgave you of everything. Hey, that'll make you skip to church. That'll make you skip backwards to church. That'll make you just say, hey, he's a big deal. Woo! Hey, maybe we need a good Baptist woo in here. Let's all do that on three, okay? We're going to woo! All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Woo! Now I am so proud of y'all. I'm telling you, I tried that in New York, and it was like, woo. But I like it. Your woo says a lot. It really does. Hey, listen. He turned the lights on for me. He gave me new ownership. He forgave me of my sins. He gave me an inheritance. Look what it says. From the power of God on Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them. Hey, I'll tell you what. If there was no heaven, I'd be just fine. Because this has been really good to live in heaven on earth. And I live, folks, I'll give you my address. You can Google Earth it. They looks like they just pour garbage all over the street in my neighborhood. I not exactly, it ain't one or two pieces. It looks like they dump garbage down the street. Needles. My daughter was 5. She fell on a needle one day. Hey, it's terrible. When I walk outside, you know what? When I'm right with the Lord, I go, man, I love this place. It's wonderful. But when I'm not right with the Lord, I walk out and go, what is wrong? But you know what I got to get thinking about? I got to think about on this earth, it's great, man. The inheritance is going to be so much better. Oh, one day. I used to say, Lord, please don't come back till I get married. Please don't come back till I have some children. Let me pastor. Now I'm just done. I'm like, Lord, come on. Come on, Lord. I want to see it. I can't wait for it. I want to go on to the next train if it ain't my time, but I want to be there. Man, we've got an inheritance. Hey, the inheritance ain't real for most people.
Well, gates of walls of precious stone, gates of pearl, crystal river running through it, and Jesus is the light. It's going to be great.
Man, it's going to be unbelievable. And for the first, however, we're not even going to be able to look up. I can't believe it. Hey, listen, we got an inheritance, and he's a big deal. But we ain't making a big deal because we done forgot about the inheritance. We forgot about the forgiveness of sins. We forgot about the going from Satan to God. We forgot about getting the lights turned on. Then it says, an inheritance to them that are sanctified. We forgot that. Now here's the best part. Maybe not the best part, but it's going to be pretty good. We're being sanctified. What's that mean, Brother Byrne? That means we're being cleaned up. Hey, we used to go out and catch a bunch of fish. My dad, my granny would be at home waiting on us. And we'd catch anything, really. But we're just bobber fishermen. Little put it on the bottom, catch some catfish or bobbers with some brim or something. And, man, we catch a bunch. We catch 80, 90 brim and just little panfish. And you may not like them. That's okay. But me and my dad one day, we thought, well, you want to just dump them out? We had him in the under the boat or where you could just let him go. And he goes, well, your granny will kill us. And I said, man, I don't feel like cleaning these fish, Dad. And I was young, and my dad said, well, let's take them home. I'll clean them. And I helped him, but my dad, man, he cleaned all the fish that day. You know what's good about us? The Lord's cleaning us up like a bunch of fish. He does it. You see, you can't, why we don't make a big deal out? Because we start thinking, maybe I did some of that.
Well, you know, I do get up and go to church and read my Bible.
No, that wasn't your own doing. That's a very boring book when you're not saved. But when the light gets turned on, suddenly that book becomes unbelievable to, and supposed to be to all. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of boring to me right now, Brother Burton. And I'm telling you, we're in a church house, so I guarantee you there are many people in here that ain't getting in that book. Hey, God, I keep wanting to sit right there, but I'm not going to because she might bite me. God just comes by and cleans me up. I hear the message, and man, he just kind of wipes me off one little spot at a time. And then he's doing it. It ain't me. A lot of people think it's false humility. I said, man, I haven't done nothing to Philly. Honestly, if it was up to who I was and who I am, nothing would happen in that place. Because I'm constantly having to get back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Now, 16 years later, the one thing I have been able to do is get right with God every time. I thank God for that. Because I didn't get right with him. He accepts me back every time. I'm accepted in the beloved. Now listen, he's cleaning us up. Woo! Hey, he's a big deal. Why am I just so much? Because he keeps cleaning me up. I mean, he just keeps coming back to me, and he loves me, and he hugs me, and he helps me, and he wants me, and he desires my relationship, and he just does nice things, and he daily loadeth us with benefits. That word benefits, you probably know it means dessert. He doesn't just give us the steak. He gives us the apple cobbler afterwards. Daily gives the dessert. I mean, what a life that we have a God that's cleaning us up. Hey, you know what? You don't have to do it. You just keep saying, God, help me, and he'll clean you up. Hey, that's another reason to skip. Jump up, tap your toes together. Hey, have you made a big deal about the Lord? When was the last time you made a big deal? Think about that now. A monotone voice. He's a big deal. That's fine. You don't have to have my voice. But I got a little bit of trouble start talking about him and not get a little bit giddy. I shake a little bit. Because he came and got me. And we forget about him and we leave him on the shelf. And Paul's talking to them. Paul, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? He took you from darkness to light. He wants to give you a new father. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to clean you up. He wants to give you an inheritance. I'm telling you, that's something to get up and shout about. We ought to get a couple of people running around right now doing something, high-stepping and doing something in this place, because God came and got you, and you wasn't worth nothing. So I was a good person. Thank God he forgave you being that. That good person stuff gets you nowhere. I'm not mad at you being a good person. I wish I'd have been a better person. My mom and dad were pretty good people. They had a drinking problem, but they were good, law-abiding citizens. And my dad never called in sick one time in 25 years, the first 25 years of his military career. But you know what they needed? At 55, they got beside the bed. Said, Lord, if we're not saved, we think we might have gotten saved when we were a kid. My mom rode a bus in Michigan, an independent Baptist bus at 15 years old, said she got saved. But guess what never showed up in their life? Fruit. And they both got beside the bed one night and got born again. That preacher called me and said, Burton, I was in Bible college. I said, Burton, if you want to come baptize your mom and dad in our church, you can do it. I had to baptize my mom and dad, baptize my Uncle Kenny. I had to marry my Uncle Kenny to his godly wife. I had to see some stuff happen. All my mama's brothers and sisters got saved. Hey, we're praying about my dad's brothers and sisters getting saved. I got cousins that have gotten saved. And I got half-sisters that have gotten saved. Life got big and good for everybody that put their faith and trust in the Lord. And they turned the lights on. And they got the light turned on. They got a new father in heaven. They got forgiveness of sin. They got cleaned up. They got an inheritance. And he's a big deal. I don't know how you can have a monotone voice and say it personally, but he is a big deal. We ought to shout it out. And it's all by faith. So he says, sanctified by faith. I'm not a Catholic. I don't have to buy a candle and walk around the building and do good deeds. And that's not who I am. My mind's by faith. Lord, I do believe you did it. And I believe you walked this earth and gave your life for me. And I'm going to trust in you. Hoo-hoo! Hey, guess what happened? Bam, it's done. It is finished. I turned to him. I repented of who I was. I didn't say, well, I'd like to go to heaven one day. I'm going to put my trust in him. No, I said, I don't want to be me anymore. I'm trusting in him, and I love him, and I'm sorry for what I've been. Now, are you still you, Brother Burton? Oh, yeah, I'm still me sometimes. I hate me. But I tell you what, sometimes I'm him, and I like it. And it's all by faith, Paul said. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed it first in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea. He showed everybody. I can just see Paul walking around. Woo! He's a bit. Do you think Paul wooed? I think he wooed. Why? Because he was a Baptist, praise God. We didn't come out of the Reformation. I'm not a Protestant. I don't got a man-made religion. Mine goes all the way back to John and Jesus and Paul and Peter. And he got a little bit excited sitting in that jailhouse, handcuffed to him. Woo! Why? Because something so big come to live inside your name, Jesus, it changes your life. Judea and to the Gentiles, and that they should repent. That's what it says. We say, well, man, I don't have any shout. I don't really get excited about the Lord. I don't really care. Well, did you repent? Did you change your mind about you and who God is? Because if you don't repent, you can't have him. This easy believism. Now, honestly, I haven't even looked at your track. But right after point number 3 on mine, I got a big old word that says repentance is key. And I tell them what it means. You cannot have God unless you decide not to have yourself. And it's an important thing to understand, folks. If you're in here today and you've never turned to God, you see, repentance is a change of mind, a turn of direction. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction, that leads to a changed life. All three of those are repentance. They all come, and they've come for a lot of us. I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes. I'm not saying that you ain't going to mess up, but I am saying maybe you got a repentant problem. Maybe you just wanted the fire escape. Now, Colossians tells us we can be happy about heaven and flaunt heaven to people and talk to them, but I can't find anywhere in here that says, hey, would you like to go to heaven when you die? How about, hey, did you know there was a man that walked the face of the earth, gave his life for you, sir? So you could have his life, and he wants to trade with you right now, and if you're willing to give yours up, he'll give you his. So, well, nobody gets saved if we do that. You know what you don't really know, because a lot of us don't do that. But why wouldn't they get saved? It's the truth of the gospel. As far as I can tell, Paul never went around and Paul didn't tell these guys, Agrippa, Festus, do you believe that Jesus died? I know you believe. Do you want to confess him as your Savior? I know you do. Well, pray this prayer. He could have got both of them. But Paul said he's a big deal and he changed my life through repentance. And then it says, for this call, these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple, went about to kill me. But having therefore obtained help of God, I continue until this day. Paul, what's the big deal? Jesus! What's the big deal? New life! What's the big deal? Not God. God's my Father, not Satan. What's the big deal? Got forgiveness of my sins, got an inheritance, I got sanctified, it was by faith, and I repented, and that's a big deal, and that's a wonderful life that I get to live. Hey, it's not all flowery roses, but God says when it's not, he promises a lily in the valley. God's always going to take care of it. Even the tough times, God's there. Hey, do you think he's a big deal or not? Have you made a big deal about Jesus in a while? Do you know Jesus? Now listen to me. Religion, if we're not careful as Baptists, reading this Bible becomes religion. Praying becomes religion. Door knocking becomes religion. Giving that offering bowl becomes religion. Those are all things we're supposed to do, but don't let them be religious. Let them be because it's a relationship. We have a Wednesday night service at the Bible study over there, and I preached on King James Bible, got under conviction the other night. My own message. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I ain't got nothing out of my Bible in a week. Woke up that next day, and man, ooh, God blew in on me. Learned Manasseh had that son, Ammon. Manasseh got right and got saved, and God changed his whole wicked life, and then his son still didn't get it. And I thought, that's amazing, a person can be around something so miraculous that'll change a life and still not get it later. I said, man, we gotta bathe my kids in prayer because daddy's life got changed. That'd mean theirs will. God speaks to us. When's the last time he spoke to you? Hey, listen, he is a big deal. He's a big, big deal. And we've lost our focus. So, Brother Burton, it's different where we live. No, it ain't. Same exact thing going on here. Yours is just inside the house. Ours is out in the street. Rebellion, wickedness, people wanting their own life. I'm talking about the church people when I say that. It happens. But listen, if we'll just say, you know what? Lord, you changed my life. I want to make a big deal of you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around for just a second. Piano player is going to come. If you're in here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior, and that if you were to die right now, and you're not sure that you wouldn't be separated from him for all eternity because you've never turn to him for your salvation. I didn't ask you if you've ever prayed because you never turned. You're not sure, just not sure. Can I pray for you today? Would you just be honest before the Lord? God spoke to your heart and say, preacher, pray for me. I am not sure that he's my Savior, that I ever gave my life to him, I ever repented, or whatever the case may be. Slip your hand up right now and say, preacher, pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that, be honest. I know that in a room this size, there's bound to be folks in here that are thinking it's me, but I'm not going to raise my hand. If that's you, can I tell you, he loves you. But secret salvation is not salvation. Praying a prayer over and over again every week, or coming to the altar and saying, if I wasn't saved, I'm saved, not telling anybody. Listen, God said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you. And so if you're in here today and you don't know the Lord, he loves you. He died especially for you. And for you to give your life to him today would be a wonderful thing. Anybody like that at all? Just slip a hand up right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart today about him being a big deal. Maybe you kind of forgot, or maybe just got a little cold. I don't know what the case may be. The Lord spoke to my heart today, Brother Burton, in this message. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody like that, just slip them up. God bless you, folks. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. Piano player is going to begin to play, and I wonder if anybody that come to this altar today and make a decision for the Lord and say, God, help me to make a big deal of you. Help me to remember what you did. Maybe you want to thank him for the forgiveness. Maybe you want to thank him for opening your eyes, sanctifying you by faith and helping you. Hey, God wants to meet with you today. Don't ever come to the church house without making a decision. That's what preaching's for. You ought to make a decision every time you come to church. What would that decision be? Father, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for meeting with us here today, Lord. Thank you for being a big deal in all our lives. And God, I can tell by the reaction that many folks, you've always been a big deal to them. But Lord, if we're not careful, we'll let that slip away somewhat and not keep our focus. And so, Lord, I pray that you bring focus back today. I pray that you speak to hearts and have folks get to this altar if it be your will. In Jesus' name,